fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Hope you had a wonderful, restful weekend, and here we are making our way through this season of Lent, this important season of the church year. It's a season of repentance, of purification, of when we return to the Lord, if you will, when we want to encourage each other. The church leads us, takes us by the hand, and through these 40 days, we imitate or we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, who fasted and prayed for 40 days in the desert and who did spiritual warfare against Satan, who Jesus came, Scripture says very clearly in 1 John chapter 3, the reason the Son of Man came was to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to do spiritual warfare. He entered into the desert after having been baptized in the River Jordan, and he was commissioned. I mean, at that point is when the commission he was sent for by the Father, which, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not die but have everlasting life. Jesus came from the heart of the Father, became one of us, and for 30 years, he lived a pretty quiet life. When the time had reached its fulfillment for Jesus to engage his mission, he went to the River Jordan, was baptized. The Father, there was a manifestation of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit present there. The Holy Spirit resting on the Son, the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, this is my anointed one. This is the one who's filled with my Spirit." And it's from the Jordan that Jesus went into the desert. He went right from there under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. His mission was about to unfold at a very high level for the next 3 years. It was full engagement, preaching the gospel, engaging the works of darkness, bringing down the kingdom of the enemy, setting captives free, proclaiming the kingdom of God, and preparing the way for the coming of the Holy Spirit, which the Spirit which was upon him, Jesus, through his 3 years on earth and his dying on the cross, making it possible, becoming a sacrifice for our sins, making it possible for us to be cleansed from the stain of sin, to reestablish us in right relationship with the Father. He makes us come alive again. We who were, let's say, fallen from glory, Scripture says, are now restored to glory through the passion, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, his ascension to the right hand of the Father, and his outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is the glory of God. And that Spirit is given to us in baptism. And those who'd fallen from glory, a race of people who had fallen from glory, are now restored to glory. Those who were destined to bear the image of the Father, those had fallen, are now restored. And as St. John the Apostle says, he gave us power to become children of God. So the spiritual battle that Jesus endured in the desert, where the enemy tempted him, and Jesus won the victory there and ultimately won the victory on the cross, where the devil thought that he himself was winning the victory over Christ, but Jesus really drew him in and he disarmed the principalities and powers, Scripture says. He made a public show of them on the cross. He destroyed them because he led the devil to do the one thing he never should have done, which was spilled the blood of Jesus Christ, the precious Son of God, that makes us clean, that washes us all clean from the stain of original sin, makes it possible for us to become children of God and to share in the glory that belongs to Jesus forever. Each one of us are now following in the footsteps of Jesus, who we understand that Christianity is a militant religion. It's a religion that's based in the same spiritual struggle and spiritual battle that Jesus, the apostles, the saints throughout history have demonstrated, that we still live, the church lives, in enemy-occupied territory. The earth is not our home. Our home is with God. But we're living in a fallen world, a world that's dominated by worldly power. It's dominated by forces that resist the will of God, both externally, the world itself, and then within us, the flesh. And the season of Lent is a particular time for us to subdue, through the grace of God, through fasting, through prayer, through almsgiving, through service, through regular reception of the sacraments. It's a time of purification. where we get very serious about, we understand the nature of the battle that we're in, and that growth in virtue and self-mastery, and by yielding to the grace of the Holy Spirit within us, we subdue those drives of the flesh, which insist on their own way, the internal struggle that we have still with what's called concupiscence, with the drives that are inconsistent with God's plan and purpose within us, the ego, the I'm me first, not God first, and yielding to habit patterns of sin. Lent is a season in which we really get serious about fighting the battle against sin. Sin is the refusal of God and the will of God. And so it's a very, very important season, and I hope each one of you are taking advantage of this opportunity to allow the church to take you by the hand through this season, through the daily readings, through the days of fast and abstinence. Make sure to think about how the Lord wants you to give out of your own abundance and give out of your own need during this season. Think about caring for the poor. Think about directing your finances, almsgiving, and the rest to the kind of things that are going to help further the kingdom of God and take care of people, situations who need to be taken care of. We also remember in the season like this that we can give away generously what we've been given because we know we possess the pearl of great price. Each one of us have already everything we need for ultimate fulfillment, happiness, and eternal glory. Christ is in you, Paul says. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you, and that hope of Christ in you is the understanding, is the grace, the theological virtue that helps each one of us understand with conviction that what belongs to Jesus Christ, each one of us are called to and we have a share in. We share in the glory that belongs to Jesus Christ. The only thing that can separate us from that glory, from that ultimate fulfillment, is sin. That's why the church takes sin so seriously, and why we need to do battle, because we have an enemy, just like Jesus did, who tried to seduce Jesus, tried to deceive him, tried to knock him off the course of his mission. He's going to do the same thing with you and me. And remember, as soon as you're serious about fighting sin, the enemy's going to ratchet up his battle against you. It's the way it works. I mean, if we're in a place where we're not taking sin seriously, which a fair number of the baptized seem to do, we're not much of a threat to him. So he'll just leave us on the course that we're on. If we're indifferent towards sin, if we really don't take it seriously, we're not paying attention to the church's leadership and teaching and the great wisdom of Jesus and the apostles about how to live and how to walk in the footsteps of Christ and how to resist sin. And we're going to be battling sin until the Lord calls us home. But if we're not serious about it, the enemy's just happy to stay in the background and just let us keep doing what we're doing. But if we really get serious about following in the footsteps of Jesus, the devil is going to engage us more directly, more consistently, more forcefully. He wants to seduce us. He wants to lie to us. Remember his nature. Jesus is very clear. We'll hear this at different times during the season of Lent. He's a murderer. He's a liar. Jesus says there's no truth in him. He comes to cheat, to steal, to murder. What he's after is he wants to knock each disciple off course. He wants to steal what belongs to Christ. Because the real battle in the earth, or the real, another way to look at it, the real value, the most important thing that's going on the planet, is the battle between the two kingdoms, the kingdom of Christ, our Lord, and the kingdom of the enemy. They're both after the same thing. They're both after eternal souls, human beings, men and women who were created in God's image and likeness. And their destiny, each human being, his or her destiny, is in play. That is, it's not yet sealed where that person will live eternally. And both kingdoms are at war, trying to win souls. Jesus came for that reason. Jesus came literally to give back to the Father what belongs to him, to win back a race of people who in rebellion had turned their hearts from him. So this whole season of Lent is really one, not just of, hey, let's get disciplined, lose some weight. This is really about spiritual combat. And it's important for us each day to walk in the footsteps of Christ and take the lead of the church and really get help from the spiritual writers of the church as well, the saints and others teaching the catechism to help us understand where is it that Jesus wants to lead us. One of the things I was thinking about for this week is the opening reading for today, the mass readings of the day, the gospel, is a very simple one, but a deeply Lenten passage, the words of Jesus. It's from Luke chapter 6, verse 36 through 38. It says, Jesus said to his disciples, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." Jesus is revealing the nature of the Father, the Father's heart. The Father's heart is one of mercy. All right, St. Paul declares it so clearly in Ephesians chapter 2. God, who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our sins, has brought us to life together in Christ. We don't get what we deserve, but the heart of the Father turns to us and he extends his mercy and forgives us and makes it possible for us to become a new creation. Then Jesus gives some very direct teaching here, very simple but direct. He says, stop judging and you'll not be judged. Stop condemning, you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down, overflowing, will be poured into your lap. That's like an abundance, a superabundance, will be given back to you. If you don't judge, if you don't condemn, if you do forgive. And then this last line, which I've thought about a lot over the years, and I think if we internalize this line, it will help us become more the person God wants us to be. He said, remember, the measure with which you measure out will in return be measured out to you. The way you treat others is the way you will be treated. If you condemn others, you will be condemned. If you judge others, you will be judged. If you refuse to forgive, you will not be forgiven. That same prayer is in the Lord's Prayer, right? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's a conditional proposition. And so Jesus is trying to help us understand where he's leading us. He knows exactly where the flesh in us is leading us. That is to be very judgmental toward people. Now, we're supposed to be clear in judging acts that are wrong. We just don't know. We're not in a place to be able to judge human hearts, human motives. Only God knows the heart. And God will judge each one of us perfectly. But Jesus here is talking about the judgment we have toward people's hearts and over people and the way we condemn them. We act as if people have no hope and we're not interested. And we don't extend forgiveness very easily. And Jesus is saying to us very simply, this is not anything like your Father. You are children of the Father. In some ways saying, act like it, very clearly, right? But that's why he came, and he knows the sin-sick condition of the human heart, and that Jesus will eventually give us his grace in the power of the Spirit to be able to live a new way of life and love as Christ has loved, if we say yes to that work within us. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.